Listen live with the 103.7 The Game mobile app.
Naked Man has a few secrets. A flayed man.
Or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super Genius.
It's on right now.
Oh, hi. I'm Hollywood Steve. You caught me relaxing in my music nook. From 1976 to 1984, the radio airwaves were dominated by really smooth music, also known as yacht rock. These yacht rockers docked a remarkable fleet of number one hits, and every song has a story behind it. Let me tell you one.
They can never be what she wants.
Okay, good morning, Kittyanna. One last time this week before I hand the reins over to Emily and Shakira. Dave Schultz, Joey Hemel doing a bang-up job for the honeymooning Cody Schutz. And we got a great show for you today. Tony Robichaux, Chris Blair, Brian Bannamy, Coach Mac Diggs from Sam Houston State, and Chris Gordy, we hope. He was actually at that LSU-Kentucky ball game. I thought he was on, quote, vacation. You know, saw him on the Bourbon Trail, as jealous all can be at Woodford Reserve, but he was actually at the ballgame, so we could talk to him about that, where he thinks LSU is. I'm not sure they're quite getting the respect that they so rightfully deserve. I'm not sure why that is. Maybe some of their wins haven't been quite as impressive as they need to be. That's where kind of the net is not making people too happy. All right, it is the Yacht Rock Wednesday morning's Porsche Chat. Give us a call if you want, 706-0111, 706-0111. Again, I'm out for the rest of the week after today. Shakira Martin from Fox 15 and Emily Giangranco from KLFY will take you home Thursday and Friday. I did see Shakira last night, Joey. I told her two things. A, make sure I have a show when I get back. And B, I might not come back. I'm going to L.A. You know, I can pull a Will Hunting. Although I don't have a girl to see about, but, you know, just, you know, sayonara, take care. Little Hotel California. I can leave, but I can't check out. All right, so lots to do. I mean, just a ton to do today. We'll get to LSU baseball. Nice win. Again, you know, just like the Cajuns, you know, when these, you know, Louisiana teams get a chance to play LSU, they get all jacked up, right? This game means much more to Southeastern than it does to LSU, but, you know, so far this season, LSU keeps on coming back, right? They were behind in each and every ballgame except maybe the third one. We got to check that one out. But they're obviously behind in the first one. They were behind in the second one, late, in fact. And then they're obviously behind yesterday, kind of back and forth, but didn't really take the lead until late in the game. And Josh Smith going to have to break out the Greg Dykeman, you know, face mask. He got plunked in the face. A couple of loose tooth. He's going to have to go to the dentist, but he's okay. Put his helmet back on and took his base and then went back out and played the field. How about that? Todd Peterson could be making himself into a pro prospect. How about that? This is a guy who, you know, got named to the starting role at the SEC tournament a couple years ago and screwed up to the point where they removed him from the starting role. And now he is a closer for LSU. That very well could be a team that's going to Omaha. And obviously, any kind of success that this team has, a lot of it's going to be on Todd Peterson's shoulders. All right. I think we can find some video of him. Jacques Toussaint had it, or someone had it that I saw online. He runs right after the ballgame. So, I mean, he takes off his uniform. Obviously, he's got, you know, T-shirt and shorts on. But he runs immediately. He was running right after the ballgame on Saturday. And he's out there fast. And this is after he pitched, so he's out a little bit out of breath. But we'll see if we get some Todd Peterson on. All right. Meanwhile, the big news yesterday, among other things, right, we didn't even get to the AAF. That sort of broke in the middle of the golf show yesterday. And I didn't even get to this. We'll get to this later as well. The AAF needed an infusion of cash, $250 million, just to make payroll. And this league almost went under after week one. And to put that in perspective, Manny Machado just signed for $300 million. Now, the $250 million needed was for everybody. This is just for him. And a couple of different things on the Machado thing. All right? Remember, he played for Baltimore. He went out to the Dodgers, got traded to the Dodgers. But he'd been playing for Baltimore forever, and they haven't been very good. for most of his time there. And I always liked watching Manny Machado. I did. I didn't realize the kind of player he was up until the playoffs, you know, tripping guys and stepping on their ankles. And, you know, you do that once, it's an accident. You do that more than once, you know, it's intentional. But nonetheless, he signed what apparently was the biggest deal he was going to get, most guaranteed money, better than the White Sox. Although, for some reason, the White Sox, I don't know if they're protecting their investment or not, we're going to give you $250 million, but if you play this amount later on in the contract, we'll give you a bonus. And then they said we couldn't match the contract? Come on. I mean, the White Sox are being a little bit disingenuous here. But I tweeted out, you know, congratulations to, you know, Machado, if the contract was true, because we're getting different stories from the Padres, it wasn't official yet. He's got to take two physicals. He's taking physicals Wednesday and Thursday. How long does a physical take? So because you got to pass the physical before you sign the contract, officially he hasn't signed yet. But that's the deal. He's going to San Diego, 10 years, $300 million. So I tweeted out, and I just, you know, congratulations, you got the money. I just don't want to hear about you winning. I just don't want to hear about this is about winning. He went from Baltimore to the Dodgers, right? Dodgers lost in the World Series again. And he's going to the Padres, who a couple years ago they tried. They did. They went after free agents. Didn't work out in like 2 or 3 months, and they got rid of everybody again. And so this isn't about winning, at least immediately. Of course, there's another side, two sides. There's another two sides of that coin, right? I can get on Machado for not joining a team where he's going to win in the near future. And at the same time, you got to say the Padres went out and are now trying to win. They went out and got somebody who at least is a bat in the middle of their lineup. You know, now they got to continue to spend. They just can't stop there. I don't think they have to get all the way up to the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Dodgers. But now you got to sprinkle in some extra free agents. Maybe they go out and get Dallas Keuchel. Maybe they go out and get Marwin Gonzalez, you know, among others. I don't think they're going to go get Bryce Harper, though people claim that they were thinking about it. So at the same time, I mean, it can be the same thing, right? At the same time, I can tell you that don't tell me it's about winning, Mr. Machado, Manny Machado, because you're joining a club that hasn't won. At the same time, the Padres are going, well, you got to give us a chance. Right, we're actually spending the money. We're, quote, small market. And they're the only show in town now. San Diego, you know, San Diego is a great sports town with the Chargers and the Padres. And this is it. No, there's no basketball there. Remember, the Clippers used to be there. That's it. And they may have a soccer team for all I know. But the Padres, outside of some colleges, is it in San Diego. And I guess SeaWorld. So you can have both ways, right? You can both. You're joining a team that hasn't won, and now the Padres are saying, "Go give us a chance." All right, we're trying. We're at least trying compared to the Marlins or the Mariners or maybe the Rangers, things like that. Then Raymond, a rare, valid point by our own RP3. Wouldn't you say that? A decade at $300 million to live and work in Southern California is, quote, winning. Little Charlie Sheehan, winning. And that's a good point. Think about what we've been talking about with Anthony Davis. And you can take it back to Paul George, right? Paul George played in Indianapolis. All right, Indiana is a basketball-crazed state. And obviously that's their pro team, the Indianapolis Pacers. And so it probably gets pretty good coverage, but it doesn't get coverage like the Knicks. Doesn't get coverage like the Bulls, probably. It doesn't get coverage like the Lakers. Maybe even not coverage like the Warriors. Then he finds himself in Oklahoma City. This is even smaller. There's even less media here. Right? At least the Pacers have the Colts and Indiana. And obviously at Oklahoma City, you know, that's where Norman is located just outside of. So you do have OU Sports there. But there ain't nothing else around here. You know, there's not a whole lot of sports coverage in Oklahoma City. So Paul George is enjoying that. And I think we'll see where Anthony Davis ends up. But is Anthony Davis going to be able to handle? Now, he was at Kentucky. All right, so you get, you're not, there's not too many places like Kentucky. I mean, maybe Boston, New York, Cubs maybe. I don't know. But there's not too many places like Kentucky basketball. But we'll see how Anthony Davis handles it. Or Kevin Durant is even a better cause. Is he going to be able to handle New York? Right? And so now Machado is going to, if you win, great. We'll enjoy the ball game. We'll come out and support you if you do win, but we'll go to the beach and have fish tacos after a day game, right? We'll enjoy a nice stroll on the beach or come off the beach after, after a nice day at the beach, we'll go to a ball game, and we're living in Southern California, so all is good. I mean, do they even get earthquakes down in San Diego? Isn't that more like L.A. and Northern California? So we'll see where this goes with Bryce Harper. He apparently is wavering on the Phillies, and they got to up their offer to get him. Bob Nightingale from USA Today is telling you that there are no other large 10-year offers for Bryce Harper, so he may have to start again. Again, I would look for a short-term deal for more money type of deal. That's what I would think of. But Machado signs. We'll see if this starts the dominoes. We're waiting for Harper to sign. And then, you know, the Keuchels and the Marwin Gonzalez's and the rest of these free agents, Craig Kimbrell, will sign, I think, in short order. So we'll see what happens with Bryce Harper. Machado is with the Padres. And, again, I guess it could be the same. As far as I'm concerned, it could be the same thing. Don't tell me it's about winning when you sign with the Padres. That's from Machado's point of view. You got the money. Congratulations. Just don't tell me it's about the winning. All right. At the same time, the Padres are like, well, give us a chance. We'll see if this is the Texas Rangers once again. It just seems like it is history repeating itself. He's got an out after 5 years. Good chance he's not going to use it. Because I did see, it was I can't find it. Telling me on how not Hall of Fame numbers that Machado has put up, right? A-Rod was just putting up ridiculous numbers. He's hit like 300 once, has like 100 RBI season, doesn't have like 40 home runs. His stats are not all that great. And he just got good timing in what has got to be, generally speaking, a shallow free agent market, right? Isn't that what it's got to be? Let me see if I did it in my likes here. Yesterday. Doesn't appear to be. All right, let us take a timeout. Well, there's got a lot of good stuff here. All right, let's take a timeout. All right, oh, here it is. Andrew Siciliano. There you go. Manny Machado at $300 million. One 300 season, one 100-plus RBI season, one 10 war season, wins above replacement, never hit 40 home runs, never stole more than 20 bases. Whew. Again, that's good timing on his part. Good timing on his part. There's only one other big-time free agent. All right, we'll be back. All right, LSU with a nice victory over Southeastern yesterday. All right, and the Cajuns play Louisiana Tech tonight, we think. We'll see. All right. Back after this, 103.7 The Game.
He brings you the coaches, the players, and all the movers and shakers. Let's face it, everybody loves Dave.
They think he's a righteous dude.
This is Sports Chat with Dave Schultz on 103.7 The Game.
Is this Yacht Rock? I mean, the Doobies with Michael McDonald, Yacht Rock.
Would it be Swamp Rock?
I don't know.
Southern Rock.
Yeah, but that, well, no, not really. Maybe this song, but they're anything but Southern Rock. They're like a Northern California band. All right, Dave Schultz, Joey Himelin for Cody Schutz. Again, the ladies, and I got to refer to them as ladies. I think yesterday I was referring to them as girls. That is more of an age thing, please. That's more of an age thing. They're under 30. I'm 50, so more of an age thing. I do apologize, though. I heard that yesterday when Joey's putting together the podcast. You know, I referred to Emily and Shakira as girls, but they're 27, 28, something like that. Not quite 30. So there's a little bit of an age difference. That's why I referred to them like that. So that they'll be taking over. The young ladies will be taking over on Thursday and Friday. Also, I had a surreal conversation yesterday, Joey, and I got a couple of great Shut Up Dave poll questions. All right? Can we preview? Want to preview one, Joey? You know? After how many dates? How many dates does it take before you take the new lady to the strip club? That's the conversation that I had yesterday. And I'm being asked, is that weird? Or maybe I'm missing out. It could be me, right? That's awesome. Second date in, going to the strip club. Here's the bonus. Here's the bonus. The professionals at the strip club knew the guy by name. Jeez, it's awesome. All right, 706-0111. 706-0111. Remember my boy Sporty E? We're going to see him out in L.A. He's the L.A. correspondent. This is what this kid, almost what he sounds like. There's a Yankee fan, although he seems a little mad. He's very happy that Manny Machado isn't coming to the Yankees.
Manny Machado just signed a $300 million deal with the Padres.
I don't want to play
for the Yankees! That's
good news. Why not? I don't want anybody for the Yankees! I don't want Bogarts! I don't want Bet! I don't want Donaldson! I don't want any of those guys! I mean, you can take any other guy in the league. I just don't want anybody. You're not going to take a guy you hate from another team.
Hey, Brad!
It's kind of like taking Tom Brady from the Patriots and adding him to the Dolphins. It just doesn't happen.
It just doesn't happen. Although the kid, does he have like a Boston accent? It just doesn't happen. That's from SNY TV out of New York. That's awesome. And though he named all those players, like, I'm not sure if the kid's like 13 years old. You know, he might be 8 or 9, but he knows all those players, so that's a win for baseball. All right, so Manny Machado signs. We'll see if Bryce Harper signs today and if it's with the Phillies or he goes to the Giants or whatever the case is. We're also going to effort, and we haven't been able to do this, get Bruce Bochy on. He announced his retirement yesterday. Bruce Bochy was my first manager, if you will, in minor league ball. In fact, the Wichita Wranglers may have been his first league championship. I don't know if he won in short season or in single A. I don't think he won in single A, but he definitely won in double A. And by the end of the next year, he was not only triple A, he was in the big leagues. The Padres were getting rid of everybody, and they brought up Bochy, I think, in the middle of 1994. We'll see if we can effort to get him. If I can get someone to ask him to come on the show, he'll come on the show. They got to get through the gatekeeper. All right. Nice win for LSU yesterday, 6-5 over Southeastern. How did the game end, Mr. Hemel?
Peterson rares, fires, swing and a miss. Struck him out. Peterson throwing lightning bolts to finish this one. Drops it back at 89 after hitting 96, 97, and 98, and the Tigers get the win. 6-5 here on a Tuesday night.
All right, so again, the Todd Peterson story, someone's going to write about the Todd Peterson story. All right, maybe we'll give it a good idea to Brody A. Miller because all this happened before he got here. Or Amy Juster, whomever. All right. It's a good story. Again, this was a kid who was slated to, LSU was going to play for a national championship. They knew they were good a couple years ago. And he's getting we need a spot starter for the first game because we don't want Poche or Lang or Walker to waste them. We'll win the first game, whoever that was against. And by the time it got to the first game, he had done something stupid where he was not going to pitch. All right? And chalk that up to immaturity. It's just a young kid. All right? We can be really impressed that Landon Marceau is as mature as he is, but we shouldn't be all that shocked when a kid acts like a kid, even if he is 19 or 20. All right, let's hear what Todd Peterson had to say when they asked, how hard, did you know how hard you were throwing in that ninth inning?
No idea. No clue. I felt good, though. I'll tell you that. I mean, I'll be honest. Seeing number four take one off the mouth, put his hat back on, his helmet, go to first, come back out here, continue to make plays for this team, that fired me up, man. Right then and there, I knew that I was going to do anything for this team. This team's my family. I mean, we love each other. We're all boys. We're brothers. And seeing that go out there, man, I'll die for him. I'll go to war for any one of these boys on this team. And, you know, that really fired me up. That got me excited.
I was kind of worried he was going to drop an F-bomb in there. It sounded like that was coming. But he caught himself. Again, this Todd Peterson story, I mean, again, obviously, Duplantis and Hess and the freshman pitchers and Smith and Watson, you know, everybody's got to chip in for this team to win a championship. You know, Carmelo Anthony can carry the team and get some complimentary play, but that's college basketball. All right. LeBron James can do so much to bring you to where you want to go. You need other guys to help out. Todd Peterson's going to be a big cog if this LSU team is going to do what people think it's going to do. All right. Again, you get to Omaha. I mean, obviously, you know, it's a different story with LSU. It's kind of like, you know, you get to the Elite Eight for most teams, you're in good shape. You get to the Final Four, you've had a great year. You get to Omaha, it's an outstanding season for LSU. Maybe not this year. You know, I think this team and the fans and, you know, the expectations are that they're playing in the final three ball games of the year. All right. That's tough. That's tough expectations to deal with, but that's probably the case. And you can count on it. If Todd Peterson doesn't have the year that he needs to have, LSU won't be there. And he's a great story, the way this kid's matured. Again, he's out of breath because he's running right after the game. All right, so good for him. All right, we'll come back. More sports chat on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock edition. Stay with us. 103.7, The Game. All caught up in the red. All right, less than a month away, a few weeks actually, to the 2019 Sun Belt Basketball Tournament Getaway powered by J.P. Thibodeau, Honda, Nissan, Kia. A 4-day, 3-night stay down in New Orleans, Country Inn and Suites in Metairie. Tickets to all the men's sessions, an Acme Oyster House gift card, tourney merchandise, and Audubon Zoo passes. All right, but you have to enter in the clubhouse on 1037thegame.com. Can the Cajuns pull it off again? It's the 2019 Sun Belt Basketball Tournament Getaway, powered by J.B. Thibodeau, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Broadcasting to an audience that clearly deserves something better.
He's a sick, driven man who has little hope for any measure of contentment unless he receives professional help.
Sports Chat with Dave Schultz on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
All right. Dave Schultz. Joey Hemel on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat. I mean, we're really giving the keys to the other people around here. No Cody, no me. Again, I told Shakira Martin she'll be in with Emily on Thursday and Friday. A, I hope I have a show on Monday. And B, I may not come back. Those two things may end up being the same thing. You know, kind of like Machado, don't tell me you're about winning. And then the Padres are saying, hey, give us a chance. We went out and signed him. 706-0111, 706-0111. LSU with a nice win. Kind of back and forth all night. RBI in the bottom half of the eighth inning. Brock Mathis getting it done. Saul Ortega, some runs, some base hits as well. He may be coming around. Again, it's really interesting on how you can overreact to one, you know, three games of baseball, right? Now, the bottom of the lineup wasn't doing anything on Saturday. That's a game, or doing anything over the weekend. It was a game and a half. And for somebody who would be in the bottom of the lineup, you know, the top of the lineup wouldn't do much on Saturday either until the end of the game. I mean, it was 2-0 only because, you know, their pitcher threw the ball away. So you got to, you know, you got to give them a couple weeks at least before you start making wholesale changes, all right? Just relax a little bit. You know, these guys got to get used to. You know, Tony Robichaud is like, these guys are getting used to playing in front of 4,000 or 5,000 people, right? although there really wasn't. You know, they announced 5,000 at the Cajuns game on Sunday, and I thought it was a good crowd, 2,000, 2,500, maybe 3, but it was not 5. All right. So you can talk about all the record you want. LSU was packed on Friday, packed on Saturday. Obviously not many people there yesterday. But it's a new experience for these guys. Right? If you're coming from JC and you're playing in front of a couple of hundred, if you're lucky, playing in front of 11,000. It's a big difference, right? You go from college golf to web.com golf, not that big a difference. You go from the web.com golf to the PGA Tour, and you get into a group with a top 10 player, it's going to be a big difference. All of a sudden, people are watching you play golf, and it's just not mom and dad. 7060111, 7060111. We'll get to the AAF here in a second, all right, because we got a couple of good Shut Up Dave poll questions. But I had a conversation yesterday with a recent single lady. And, you know, relationship ended after 5 years. She's right back on the horse. She's, you know, I'm not sulking, all right? Good for her. But date, first date was Valentine's Day, which is a little bit romantic, right? Okay. Second date, she's being taken to look at real estate. That's a little pushy, right? Talking about marriage, that's a little over the top. But again, the first Shut Up Dave poll question, Joey, has to be, after how many dates is it acceptable to bring the new girlfriend to a strip club? Because that I have missed that part of the dating, all right? I am not a proficient dater. The weekend list streak continues. But I have never thought in my life to bring a woman to a strip club. So what is it? You know, it's got to be 2 dates, 3 dates, Joey. Never, and shut up, Dave. All right. So she was brought to the strip club, and she's asking me, is that weird? I would tend to think yes. Again, it could be me. I could be in the wrong. But, you know, and then the employees at said strip club knew the guy. And as it turns out, the guy had just moved to the area. He hadn't been there that long. And he knows, well, for lack of a better term, the strippers. How many dates, you know, with a new woman, or a guy for that fact of the matter, how many dates before you ask the new woman to go to the strip club? Because I was just, I'm shocked that that's a thing. Right? You know, maybe later on you're married or you're dating for a long time, want to spice things up. I get it. But that's like a second impression. Right? First impression was Valentine's Day. The next impression is, let's go to the strip club. That is, I mean, I'm shocked she stayed. Again, it could be me. Maybe I'm the one missing out on this. All right? But I would never think that would be the case. All right? Never be the case, all right? It's one thing if, you know, bachelorette party or, you know, whatever it is, or it's a thing that you all plan to go, but on a second date? Joey, am I out of line here? Is that a thing?
You are very much in line.
I would never think
because
that'd be the case.
That is the weirdest date I've ever heard of.
Second date?
I wouldn't take my chances.
Second date?
Bringing home a stripper.
And the strippers knew the guy. Calling him by his first name. I mean, maybe she was just too shocked to say, you know what, I got to get on the Uber and get out of here. Goodness gracious. I told her I was going to bring it up, and she's like, okay, let's see what the responses are. All right, you put it up there? So you can't put up 0 or 1. Well, you can. 2, 3, never, and shut up, Dave. All right, okay. Because I think that's a great question, all right. We'll see after how many dates. Is it acceptable to bring a new girlfriend to a strip club? All right, 2, 3, never. Shut up, Dave. You know, shut up, Dave may win. I don't know. I'm gonna vote never, but, you know, it's awesome. All right. At Dave1037TheGame, at 1037TheGame. All right, on the Twitterverse. All right. You want to talk LSU baseball, you're welcome to do that. 7060111, 7060111. Good news. The voice of the Tigers is up and about. He had an early night. Don't think that Chris Blair wasn't loving life yesterday when that ball game ended. I'm not kidding you, like 6:58. 6:58. He was loving life, right? The game was supposed to start 6:30. He's done. The game is done at like 6:58. He was loving life last night. All right, so Chris Blair will join us at 7:32 to talk about that. And we got to talk about LSU taking on the Gators a little bit early tonight, 5:30 pregame show, 6 p.m. Tip-off. And again, you don't want to get caught looking ahead against Tennessee. All right, you know, it doesn't take Will Wade. Will Wade can say, hey, look what happened with Kentucky, right? They may not have played their best game against us, and then they took care of Tennessee. Let's worry about Tennessee when we get to Tennessee. We got to worry about Florida. All right. So yesterday it came out that the AAF needed an infusion of cash for, to make payroll after 1 week. And here's another Shut Up Dave poll question. All right. Again, I only have enough RAM that I can deal with this, right? I watched it the first weekend. I watched some of the ball game the first weekend, right? Birmingham looked good. Christian Hackenberg did not. That's what I saw weekend number one. I tuned out weekend number two. All right. We got Cajuns baseball, LSU baseball, Cajun softball, basketball, etc. And a wedding. Cody got married. Entering in the reception with the John Cena music. So here's a Shut Up Dave poll question, Joey. It's very simple. Did you watch the AAF in week number two? There was golf that took forever. I don't know. That would be something I would have watched. I didn't. I was a little bit lazy maybe on Sunday. I was waiting for True Detective, to be honest with you, and then go to bed. But I was also dealing with some computer issues. So I only got so much RAM. I didn't watch a second of it of the AAF this week. Not a second of it. I didn't even see the Steve Spurrier, you know, shade to Rocky Top. All right, I didn't even see that. Did you? Have you lost interest? Have we lost interest already? And how do they need a $250 million infusion of cash? And they get it from the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes? I mean, wow. It's going to be. Are they going to need the same infusion of cash next week? I mean, some places are drawing, but all this, and when I say drawing, like 10,000, 15,000, no one's putting in 40,000. You know, the soccer is drawing better now than these guys, right? So it can't be about, you know, it's got to be like the NFL, right? Although they get all a lot of money from tickets and concessions and merchandise, you know, they're getting $7 billion from their media entities. This league's got to be propped up by the TV and its connection to the NFL. Did you have the answers, Joey? I mean, did you watch the AAF this week? Did you watch week two of the AAF? Yes, no, shut up, Dave.
I did not, but we have the poll going up right now.
Okay. I just didn't either. Only enough RAM, right? I mean, I did both the Cajuns softball on Friday and baseball. Saturday, we're going to the wedding. And Sunday, came back and Cajuns baseball. And we're there from like, you know, get there. Well, I got there a little bit after one because I was, again, dealing with my computer. And then going to, and coming back around 5. And I probably missed it. I didn't think about it is what happened. I did not think about it. I just did not have enough RAM, you know, thinking about L.A. and, what the show's going to be on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, make sure Shakira and Emily are all set, making sure Joey's all set. You know, there's only so much RAM you can deal with, and I could not deal with the AAF. It slipped my mind, to be honest with you. You know, curiosity to begin with. I mean, it's not great football, let's be honest, right? It's not fantastic football, which is not a blame on anything, but they just haven't practiced very much, right? They just haven't practiced very much. So that's the next Shut Up Dave poll question. Did you put it up there? All right, it's up there. We'll get that out there. All right. Did you watch the AAF in week number two? All right. I did not. Did you? And they're already going under. Although they did get, you know, not under, but they got $250 million in cash infusion. Or cash infusion, I guess. Again, it's not that great of football, but once you get past that, it's football, and, you know, people love football around here. Remember, it's different than what the USFL was, and I still got to get Jeff Perlman on. All right, we'll do that when we come back. Remember, the USFL had stars, right? Reggie White went to the USFL. Herschel Walker was in the USFL. Doug Flutie was in the USFL. Who's the stars in this league right now? Trent Richardson? Is that it? Who's the stars in the league? Who's going to the XFL? The USFL had a pretty good model until, well, unfortunately, Donald Trump got involved. This is what happened. They had a good model. They had a good idea. They had a plan. And a more spring and summer league instead of what's going on right now. All right, let's take a timeout. Tony Robichaux at 7. Chris Player, 7:32. He's up a little bit early, taking the kids to school. All right. Brian Bannamy, we'll talk more Pelicans. And again, you see Michael Beasley's going to China. And he was in his, Brian said, in the Godfather offer to the Pelicans from the Lakers. Really? He's part of the big deal? Matt Deggs, head coach of Sam Houston State. So we got Robichaux and Deggs coming up here on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat. Chris Gordy, 8:32, we think. If not, we'll roll on. All right, back after this. Keep on answering those Shut Up Dave poll questions. How many dates is it acceptable? After how many dates is it acceptable to bring a new girlfriend to the strip club? Which I would never even consider that, but that may be just me. And did you watch the AAF in week number 2? All right, back after this on Acadiana Sports Station. On a Wednesday morning, Yacht Rock Sports Chat, 103.7. The game.
Smart, informed, entertaining, and very engaging. At least, that's what his mama tells him.
Thanks for the intro, mother.
It's Sports Chat with Dave Schultz. Super genius. On 103.7 The Game.
Honey, I was your hero. And you were my leading lady. We had it all.
Just all right. Early results on our Shut Up Dave poll questions. Tony Robichaux coming up at 7. Chris Blair's, Cajuns, LSU, Pelicans, Sam Houston State, and Houston in the NFL and whatever else we... I mean, Houston is one of the top teams in college basketball. Led by Corey Davis right out of Lafayette. We'll talk to Chris Gordy about that. How much play is Houston getting in Houston? All right, it's very much a pro town. Astros are starting up. They'll actually start up before Houston could be done if they make a run. All right. So we'll have Robichaux on at 7, Chris Player 7:32. All right. Kind of shocking here, Joey. After how many dates is it acceptable to bring a new girlfriend to a strip club? Combined between 2 and 3, and after 2 dates is 36%.
Why are people even selected?
I don't know that.
Is that even an option?
It is, apparently 9% for 3. So apparently 45% don't have an issue bringing the new girlfriend to the strip club.
We can conclude that after a certain amount of dates, it's okay.
That's what they're getting. 36% say never. But it's 45% is okay. 36% say never. They're telling me to shut up less than 20% of the time. All right. Did you watch the AAF in week number 2? 64% say no. 18 said yes. 18 telling me to shut up. I don't even remember the name of it. I could look it up. All right. I don't know if provincial is the right word or not, but a very low-key Midwestern town is Peoria. All right. It's a very low-key, conservative may be a good name for it, right? It used to be run by Caterpillar, probably still is, but they kind of broke the union. But it used to be that the whole town would take a vacation, beginning of August, because that's when Caterpillar people would go on vacation before school would start, right? They'd get one last vacation and the whole town would shut down because everybody would leave. But there is this one strip club in downtown Peoria. I lived there for 2 years, right? There's a strip club in downtown Peoria, and it does pretty well because you get conventions in Peoria. You know, businesses have offices in Chicago and St. Louis. All right? So you don't want to hop on a plane, and one, people don't want to drive 6 hours, meet in Peoria. It's like 2.5 hours from St. Louis, 3 hours from Chicago, or the other way around, right? I went into that strip club one time, Joey. One time. One time. I'd rather have a better chance of winning at the casino, all right? I went into the strip club one time. That was it. And that was to find, if you can believe this, dating a woman at the time. Didn't bring her in. We were meeting out, and she went out with some college buddies to begin with and left the keys to her place in their car. And that's the story, and I'm sticking to it. So we were looking for, and as a young 26-year-old, I knew that I needed to find her keys or else, you know, the weekendless streak was going to continue back then. I needed those keys fast, and we just didn't know where to go. They left where we were because they realized we were dating. She was kind of a little bit more affectionate in public than I. We'd only been dating a short period of time, but had gotten used to it. All right, she's making sure that the guys that she was with, her friends from college, knew that she was with me, which was a little bit different, which was nice. But I went to the strip club. I walked in, wasn't going to pay the cover charge. I said, look, I'm just looking for these guys. I'll be, you know, here's my wallet. You know, hold on to it. They did. They let me look around for, again, 2 minutes. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. I walked in. I walked out. The keys were not in there. We found them in another bar. All right. We found the guys in another bar. All right. Peoria downtown, not that big. You can go around to a bunch of bars. That's probably not the last. I mean, the other only times I go to, well, been to Michael's here, right? For WWE and boxing events. Not WWE, UFC and boxing events. It's just not my thing, all right? It's not my thing. I certainly wouldn't bring a woman there, all right? Although maybe I need to try that. I mean, it's 40% to 40%. 40% never. And 40% after so many dates. I never thought that would be the case. That's on me. All right, life is all about adjustments, Joey. I got to adjust. I think that's great. We didn't add that the, well, potential new boyfriend knows the strippers. That's the best part of the story. All right. Well, this is Fired Up Friday. This is not the Yacht Rock, but that's all right. Tony Robichaux coming up next. We'll talk to the head coach of the Raging Cajuns baseball team. Look back to Texas. Look ahead to Sam Houston State. We'll do that next on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock sports chat on a KDM sports station. 1037 The Game and 1037TheGame.com.
Local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037TheGame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 7 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game. Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app or online at 1037TheGame.com.
All right, place your bets, place your bets. Here we go.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super Gene.
It's on right now.
A whole ounce, huh? What's the occasion, Clark?
Marathon recording session with England Dan and John Ford Coley.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
Oh, you want some bennies to keep you awake?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, throw it in.
Good morning, Acadiana. Dave Schultz, Joy Heimel on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat on Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game, 1037TheGame.com. Let's talk some Cajuns baseball, shall we? With the head coach of the Raging Cajuns, Tony Robichaux. Cajuns coming off a series against Texas. They lose 2 out of 3 but salvage the final ballgame, so they feel good about self. After the weekend, they will take on Southeastern. They will take on La Tech Wednesday, a game rescheduled due to rain. Your overall assessment of the weekend, coach?
Well, again, we had a lot of things to deal with and work on that weekend. There were some unknowns. Number one, we knew we would face a good team. We knew we'd face some quality arms. We knew we would have big crowds. And then we knew we had a lot of pitchers that have never pitched at the Division I level before. So overall, you know, you take away 2 innings. We got to get better there pitching against a 3-run inning. Game one, we didn't give up a 3-run inning. Game two, we did give 2 3-run innings up, having to be a 4 and a 5. But we refer to them as 3-run innings. And nothing's good from 3 on, no matter what it is. So we got to do better there. Not giving people momentum. We gave them some extra momentum in those innings. But overall, being able to, you know, be one hit away on Friday night, Saturday you leave, you're one hit away again. I've been with some teams throughout the years. I've coached long enough for 30-something years that Sunday's been miserable after you've come close to beating somebody by one run and couldn't get it done. And yet this team, what I really liked was, can you come back? I mean, can you come back from losing? Can you prevent yourself from getting swept? Because that's the ultimate goal, you know, is not to get swept on a weekend and try to get 2 out of 3. So we didn't meet our goal. Our goal was 2 out of 3. If you win the first two, then, of course, you go after the third one. But our goal was 2 out of 3. So at the end of the day, we're not happy because we only won one game. But we are happy that we did some good things. Our freshmen played very good in front of a big crowd, not a hostile crowd, but a big crowd. Sometimes players can be people pleasers. And if they can play scared, they can play with anxiety when they see that kind of crowd. And a lot of these kids are coming from programs that they don't draw nearly this. So that was a good sign. Our offense got back on track for Sunday. I thought better, a little bit better each night. You know, Friday night we faced a really good arm, but I still think we could have done some things to beat that guy. And I think if we could have stayed on the approach better, I think we got off of it a little bit from time to time throughout the lineup. I don't think it's because of selfishness. I think it came because of being throttled up too high opening night. That's always a fear of mine. Saturday, I think we throttled back down a little bit and got more guys in the lineup on the approach. And then I think Sunday, we got all 9 of them on the approach. And I think when we can do that and stay right there on the approach, I think we're going to be good. All our freshmen, we threw 21 out of the 28 innings, were scoreless innings. We pitched in a lot of traffic. You know, one game, I think we left 14 guys stranded for Texas. We pitched in the bases loaded in the rain. The wind changed at the end, put a guy back out there that had blown a save already for his first time out, and he was able to come back and overcome that. So I thought we did a lot of good things, and I think if we just get one more hit here, one more hit there, you know, you could have won too. The problem is you don't get the Omaha on how many games you could have won.
Well, let's talk about Gunnar Leje. Says he wasn't all that good. Wasn't his best stuff. His Friday night performance was 0 runs in 5 innings. How much better can you get?
Well, you're right. But internally, you know, guys like that, they have a big internal clock, you know, on how they feel they did. And what makes guys good like that, Michael Jordan, all those kind of guys, Kobe Bryant, man, winning doesn't always mean they did good, and losing doesn't always mean they did bad. They take the winning and losing out of it, and they prepare to be at their best. And they know when they're not at their best or when they are at their best. And so a guy can throw 5 scoreless innings and still tell you that, you know, he didn't think he did good. And that's because they have such a high standard. You know, you'll have some people that play at a standard that, hey, I'm glad we won one game, you know, whoop-de-doo. That's one game. You know, you needed to win 2 out of 3. You can't get out of a super regional by winning one game. You got to get out of there by winning 2 out of 3. So that's the standard you want to uphold. You know, I mean, I get we did some good things, and I'm glad we just didn't get swept and we didn't lay down. We had some fight in us, some urgency in us. I'm glad to see that, because you're going to need that in this type of season. But that's why Gunnar talks like that, because he has such a high standard for himself.
And then how do you get Brandon Young back on the horse?
Well, he's got to get back to, I think, tunneling. You know, his fastball's up and his changeup's down. And
that sounds like a bad recipe.
Well, it's not good, because you don't have two pitches that are in the same tunnel. So when they see the ball up, they give up on the changeup. When they see the ball down, they give up on the fastball. So, it, you know, whereas you look at Gunnar and Perrin and those guys that were so successful this weekend, they run that changeup and that fastball in the same tunnel. So that's what we got to get him to be able to do, is get back to getting to tunneling and not getting his fastball up and his changeup down.
And then Dalton Horton, I mean, pitched another good ball game on Sunday.
Well, you got experience. The only thing that's changed that guy was the health. You know, just like Gunnar, Gunnar's not going to forget how to pitch. When Yaitno is a freshman for TCU, you're not going to forget how to pitch. But will your injury allow you to pitch the way you want to pitch? And that's the difference. And most times, you know, you look at, Brandon. I think that's what he's going through right now. I don't think it's a stuff issue. I think it's a retransformation issue. You know, he was 93 to 95 in junior college and had a little labrum issue. And I think his velocity's come down a little bit. And I think he's trying to weed through who he is, because that's trouble for him, right? It happens to all the veteran pitchers at the end of their careers. They got to reinvent themselves simply because they're not throwing with the velocity that they normally were throwing at. So your velocity differentials, instead of increasing when you're young because you're throwing so hard, now they start to decrease in later years. And so now one swing of a bat is closer to hitting either one of these two pitches. But when your velocity differentials are like that, you're not close to be able to hit these two pitches with one swing. But boy, when your velocity differentials shrink, you got such a better chance to make contact and hard contact. And so we just got to work with him. We got to do what Dalton did. You know, Dalton reinvented himself. He doesn't have the velocity he once had because he was in the 90s, but he pitched. And I think that's all we've got to do is keep working with him to, not that he was a thrower, but he could rely on velocity. Look, when you're 93 to 95, that's going to cover up a lot of pitching mistakes. But when you 87 to 88, we call that bat speed. The bat's arriving about that time. And so you either got to be a slow throwing guy in front of that to give somebody trouble or get above it. And when that's why so many people will watch teams play at night and a little lefty will come out throwing 82 to 83 and everybody can't understand why you can't hit him. But he's on the front end of the 86, 87, 88. And then when the 93 to 95 guy gets up there, he's on the upper echelon of bat speed. So when that barrel's arriving on time and on plane, you've got to be able to sink it. Or you've got to be able to take something off and get the barrel further out in front of the plate so that when you put something back on, the barrel's dragging, it's behind. And that's what Gunnar does so well. You know, the changeup puts him out in front. They stay back on the changeup, and he takes an 86, 87 fastball, and he throws it by you. But he's made his fastball play up because of the changeup. Brandon's changeup was being thrown for a ball. So now his fastball, no matter how hard he's throwing it, it doesn't play up. You have to learn, even Hogan Harris, who had the biggest fastball, if he didn't set it up from time to time or put it in a wrong location, the velocity played down, didn't play up. And that's the key, I think, with him. We just got to get him back on track and being able to tunnel stuff so that his fastball plays up instead of plays down.
Well, I'm getting an outstanding visual description from Coach Robichaud. This is an audio medium. And so when he was earlier talking about the difference in velocity, he was moving his hands closer and further apart. All right, let's move ahead to the weekend, even though you still got La Tech tonight. It's almost like it's a conference game. You guys play Sam Houston every year, and they know your pitching approach. You know they know your pitching approach, and he knows that you know your pitching approach. How do you change things up so he's not dead red when he knows what's coming?
Well, we're just very fortunate. You know, we played them six times already, and we're 5-1 because we pitched good. But if you don't pitch good against him and you get out of your lanes, it's not going to be good. And we were just very fortunate. We had some older arms at the time. The first year we played him, his hitting system wasn't fully in yet. The second year we played him, his hitting system was a little bit more in, but we had arms that would stay in their lanes. Now what we have is we have younger arms, and he has an older hitting system that's in. So he's definitely got the advantage this year. And so we're going to have to bring the freshman in there. And because they use a hitting system with a little bit of a high leg kick, it's a very aggressively looking hitting system. You can be small in it and look like you're big. And so what freshmen have to learn how to do in this is not let that leg kick run them out of the strike zone. He can run you out of the strike zone with the way they look. And that's the biggest challenge. Older pitchers, you're not going to run them out of the strike zone just because of the way you look. But younger pitchers, they can get – run out of the strike zone. And a lot of people have not seen that type of aggressive approach, right? I mean, he trains that. So the freshmen that are coming out of high school and the JC guys that are coming, you don't see this hitting approach much. You see it with Deggs because that's what he teaches. And it's a good approach, but sometimes if you can lane it up good enough and change speeds good enough, you can make any hitting approach vulnerable, right? I mean, look, hitting is nothing but timing, and pitching is timing. And pitchers that are good, like Gunner, he disrupts hitters' timing. That's what makes him good. Right, it's not his velocity. It's not how great his curveball is. It's not how great his changeup is. Even though it's good, he's got the knack to change up timing on hitters. And what you have to do with Matt or any hitter is you've got to get good at changing speeds and mixing up timing. And because of that big leg kick, it looks like every swing is very aggressive, and looks like every swing is. If they make contact, it's leaving the yard, right? So freshman pitchers with this big leg kick, sometimes they throw their pitch and they go try to protect it. They'll choke it off because of that big leg kick. And so I watched it with us here with that leg kick. We ran many pitchers out of strike zones. We scared a lot of pitchers out. On the other hand, there were some soft-throwing lefties that came out some nights and gave us trouble because they could lane up and change speed. So it's not a feast of famine system, but it's a system that you have to be strong-minded to pitch against it, because I've seen a lot of pitchers before on one big swing. We call it a loud foul ball. You know, the guy that almost hits it out of the ballpark and all the crowd goes, ooh. If you watch closely after that, you'll see a lot of pitchers walk the guy after that one loud swing. Now think about it, he hit a foul ball, right? But they got that swing in their mind, and so their unconscious mind says, man, I need to protect this next pitch. And so it's ball two, ball three, ball four now off of one foul ball swing. And so Deggs, his hitters, can chase you out of the strike zone. So it takes a man to pitch against them. You got to stand up in there and pitch, and you got to be able to change speeds, and you got to be able to put that leg kick out of your mind.
All right, Tony's Cajuns taking on La Tech and Ruston tonight, and then head over to Sam Houston for the weekend. Best of luck, Coach. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Schultz.
Hey, what is that? Thanks, Schultz. He's got a couple of guys on his team, right? Jacob Schultz is actually pitching today. He's never called me that before. I don't mind it. Kind of feel like I'm one of the family now. Kind of feel like I'm one of the family. All right. The Twitter poll is kind of taking off here, Joey. All right, it had been like 47 to 35. 47 to 35%. If you combine how many dates is it acceptable to bring the new girlfriend to the strip club. It's down a little bit, all right? It's now down to 37%, 22 after two dates, 15 after three dates. 30% say never, but apparently I'm onto something here, because 33% are telling me to shut up, meaning I'm taking that, shh, don't say nothing, Dave, shh. The little thing the guys do, you know, shh, don't say nothing. I would never think that. All right, let's take a timeout. LSU playing some basketball tonight. Let's preview LSU against the Gators. All right, this is not the one I'm actually worried about. I'm much more worried about the one at Florida. That's what I'm worried about. All right, let's talk a little LSU basketball, shall we? Again, you can get in on the conversation at 706-0111, 706-0111. You're welcome to vote. Again, how many dates? After how many dates is it acceptable to bring the new girlfriend to a strip club? And did you watch the AAF in week two? 59% say no. I need to go back and see if we can find, you know, how many watched it week one, because I bet you it's flipped. Back after this on a KDM Sports Station, a Wednesday morning Out Rock Sports Chat, 103.7 The Game.
Call me a fool. You say it's a crazy.
He's not afraid to tell it like it is.
He is afraid of small dogs, though.
Sports Chat with Dave Schultz, live and local on 103.7 The Game.
It is
is amazing on what we all get excited about these days, right? Samsung bringing out their new updates, right? Apple does the same thing. It's a thing. Samsung event. I'm not a Samsung guy. I think Clint is. Clint's got the Samsung stuff. I tried it. Didn't work out. And plus, I got the Mac, which right now the Mac isn't working out too well. So it's kind of an odd deal. I've never actually had a new computer not, well, act like a new computer, I guess. Not running as nearly as well as it should be. All right. 706-0111 on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Let's talk a little LSU basketball. They'll take on Florida today. 5:30 pregame show. So no bumper-to-bumper sports yesterday because LSU baseball moved up. Now an hour and a half of bumper-to-bumper sports. What a cushy week Ben Love's got. What a cushy week. All right. Although I'm not here tomorrow or Friday, so that's a cushy week as well. All right. Speaking of cushy weeks. LSU and Florida tonight. Again, I'm not that concerned with the this would be a trap game. All right. This is exactly the same situation that LSU had. That Kentucky had with LSU and before Tennessee, although it's kind of tough to have a trap game with the top 20 team coming in, right? You can't really be overlooking LSU like the way LSU could be overlooking Florida. You just can't. You know, those are two different things a little bit. But you do have the same thing with Tennessee coming in on Saturday, although that's an 11 a.m. ball game. Goodness gracious, who scheduled that one? I mean, I guess they did it beforehand, but you should be able to change that eventually, right? Based on the results. They do football, right? I mean, they wait a week beforehand to find out when the football game is. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, I wouldn't say inconveniencing, but, you know, changing the schedule for, you know, 100,000 people. So tonight's basketball game, again, Florida, just not that good. They are, you know, legitimately struggling this year. It's not a good thing. I don't know what's going on with Mike White there, but it's a little bit of a struggle. And they have to come out. Again, this whole idea, so this would be one of those games, as Florida is 14-11 overall, 6-6 in the league. Gators come off a win, 71-53 at Alabama, so they got a nice win on the road on Saturday. So maybe playing a little bit better than they had been. But this is one of those ball games where you kind of want to play 40 minutes. You want to see if they can come out and play a 40-minute ball game. But again, that's a myth in my book. Go back to that Auburn ball game. They didn't play well for like about 4.5 minutes in the first half, got down 26-10. Then they played well for the rest of the game up until the last 3 minutes, where they did their best to blow a 10-point lead. Down 16 to up 10 in the same game. So really tough to put one of those. Boy, we want to play 40 minutes of defense, 40 minutes of offense. Think about that when they're just practicing. Think about that when they're just practicing, right? The defense knows what plays the offense runs as well as anybody, and they can't do it well, right? Or they can't, you know, they'll be able to stop them. They should be able to stop them. Doesn't matter, you know, who's playing on what team, scout team or whatever the case is. Should be able to defend them as well as anybody. So, again, that's a whole little myth, little deal about trying to play 40 minutes. But let's see if they can put together a 35-minute defensive effort. See if they can not be sloppy with the basketball. All right. And, again, let me see where they are net-wise. I don't know how often this changes. Because I don't think that they are getting their just due because they've had some close wins. All right. Well, they're up to 14. All right. Oh my God. Wisconsin actually won a ball game and fell below LSU. LSU hasn't played and they went above Wisconsin. It's a little nuts. Houston, by the way, 25-1. They do have a win over LSU. So you would think that the better that Houston is, the more that helps LSU, though not recently. I think LSU is just kind of underrated. Purdue's 18-7. Iowa State's 19-6.
You know, you would think that, you know, LSU would be closer to the Michigan's 23-3, Michigan State 21-5, Kentucky 21-4, Virginia 23-2. You know, Texas Tech 21-5. They're below Purdue and Iowa State, and up until, you know, a couple of days ago, they were below Wisconsin. I don't get it. Well, talking about LSU, he'll have the call right here on 103.7 The Game. Joey, that's called a segue. We got Chris Blair, the voice of the Tigers. We'll talk basketball. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk Chris Blair's itinerary. All right, will he be periscoping his trip from the PMAC to the box on Saturday? After this, on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. All right, I got some great news for our listeners, especially the skilled laborers out there. It's time to go back to work and stay there. Permanent Workers is hiring today. If you've been thinking of working in the shipyard industry, contact Permanent Workers. There are immediate work opportunities available for welders, fitters, pipe welders, and pipe fitters. The beautiful part is you can start a career that will last. And even if you don't have some of those exact skills I mentioned, reach out anyway. There are other immediate job opportunities that are open. So if you're looking for work and like working with your hands, make the right kind of change for your career and your life. Give Permanent Workers a call today. 985-384-0225. That's 985-384-0225. Don't be shy. Share the number if you know someone who needs a job. 985-384-0225. Call Permanent Workers today and go to work.
If you're searching for something meaningful that will enhance your life, this is not the guy to talk to. Now, back to Sports Chat with Dave Schultz on 103.7 The Game.
Saw your picture on a poster in a cafe out in Phoenix. Guess you're still the sweetheart of the road.
Peterson rares, fires, swing and a miss. Struck him out. Peterson throwing lightning bolts to finish this one. Drops it back at 89 after hitting 96, 97, and 98, and the Tigers get the win. 6-5 here on a Tuesday night.
All right, that's the voice of the LSU Tigers, Chris Blair. All right, had the pleasure of the call last night right here on 103.7 The Game. No one happier than him that the ball game started at 4 and ended at about 6:58, according to my clock in my car, because the game was supposed to start at 6:30. And so Chris Blair kind of had the night off. Let's go out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Good morning, Chris. Thanks for getting up early. You've had quite the busy few days. Thanks so much.
Yeah, it's been busy, but it's been fun, man.
Well, yeah.
This is what it's all about.
Yeah, no doubt. Again, are we going, it's not quite as close as I think another one was last year, but are we going to do Facebook Live or periscoping from the PMAC to the box? I think last year was like one was right after the other. You have a little bit of an hour break maybe, hopefully, between these two ball games on Saturday?
Yeah, I think I think we're going to be fine. I mean, it'll be double duty on Saturday. Little basketball and brunch Saturday morning, 11 o'clock tip with Tennessee, and then we'll head over to the box when that's all wrapped up. Get ready for the matchup, game two with Bryant. So yeah, should be good to go, and we'll spend like I do most days. I'll spend the majority of the day on campus.
That's right. All right, it'll be a lot of fun. Let's look back at before we get to the basketball game. Let's look at this LSU baseball team, and I just want to talk about the so impressed with Landon Mersot. At Media Day, and we forget, you know, these kids are still 19, and I joke that they're more mature than I am, though in this case it's true. So when someone does make a mistake, like a Todd Peterson did a couple years ago after he's named a starting pitcher for the SEC opener, tournament opener, and then doesn't do it, it couldn't have been that big a transgression because he pitched in the tournament. But think where he has come, what he did last year. Now he's, like you said, he's throwing BBs in there and coming back with an 89-mile-per-hour strikeout. Not only is your partner Doug Thompson telling us, you know, that's not only is that good enough for the SEC, but that's good enough for Major League Baseball. This guy has gone from screwing up an SEC tournament start to maybe being a pro prospect. And if LSU is going to do anything this year, he's going to be a big part of it.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, I like to call him, in a loving way, LSU's very own Luke LaLouche. I mean, he is outspoken.
Right.
He's got a lot of confidence. And I think some of it came from last year's SEC tournament. I mean, he had some good outings down the stretch last season. But, of course, he took center stage over in Hoover on the mound and then certainly at the plate
right. In
his one at-bat where he's batting 1,000. But, yeah, I mean, Doug's right. I mean, my goodness. I mean, there was just no chance. Nobody was getting a bat on the ball, and he was shot out of a cannon when he came in to get the final out in the eighth, and then mowed him down in the ninth inning. So, yeah, he's going to be a big part of it. I mean, you know, you got to feel pretty good overall, although there's just a small sample size now of four games in the books. But you like where your starting pitching is. And, you know, hey, also got to tip your cap to Matthew Beck and Devin Fontenot. I mean,
yes,
you know, give Southeastern a lot of credit. They scored at least one run in the first four innings and then got to the bullpen. And the combination of Beck, Fontenot, and Peterson kept them off the board. And, you know, the Tigers were able to scratch two more runs to get a win.
Yeah, what we've seen so far, we made a big deal, you know, earlier before the season and now and during the season. You know, we want to see Zach Kessin. I know he had an off outing on Friday. Hopefully it's just an off outing, and he'll be better later on. But we want to see him go around the lineup like three times to be an effective Friday night starter. But the same is true about the LSU lineup, and I know it's against Army and ULM and Air Force and Southeastern, but it's going to be a neat trick for any starting pitcher, SEC or not, to go around the LSU lineup three times. I mean that is just out. That's a ridiculous lineup, and I like what the lineup has done. You know, they've been behind in three of the four ball games, right? Outside of Sunday's ball game, they've been behind in all, you know, three of the four.
You know, Dave, when I look at this year's lineup, and again, we joke about the fact that what we've seen so far, 1 through 9, probably will be tinkered and tweaked as we go along, but. You know, the great thing about this team and what Coach Maneri has at his disposal is that, you know, I don't know that you can come up with multiple combinations. And the fact is, at the top of the order, middle of the order, maybe you sprinkle some of those guys to the back of the order so that you always have the opportunity to get men on base. And, you know, and then you just don't feel like that they're not going to be able to deliver a hit somewhere in that lineup. You know, right now, with the way it's set, you know, if you can get a little bit of production, not power, just get on base. I mean, Brant Broussard, to me, is key. Right now he's in the top of the lineup. Last year, after coming back from the injury, they moved him to the back of the lineup. But he's a guy that you could take from batting second to maybe put him in the 7 or 8 hole. And here's a guy that you're not looking for him to sacrifice bunt. I mean, so far this season, he's a guy that lays down a bunt, and he's going to get on base. You know, Hal Hughes, if he can get on base batting in the 9 hole with what he gives you defensively, just find a way, earn a walk, lay down a bunt, you know, get a bloop single. Because once you get to the top of the order with Duplantis and Cabrera and, you know, the guys up there in the top and middle of the order, I mean, you just never feel like, even on Saturday against the great pitcher that Army had in their senior, you just didn't feel like, okay, eventually, you know, somebody's going to get on and somebody's going to bring them in. And, you know, it came in dramatic fashion with a 3-run walk-off. But, I mean, that's how deep and talented this lineup is. I mean, it's an abundance of riches that Coach Paul Maneri has in the lineup.
Talking to Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers, I don't know how much you get after the ball game. It's never good when you have to see a doctor after a ball game, and it seems like Josh Smith may have to see a DDS, a dentist, after what happened yesterday. The tough kid takes one in the chops. You're going to have to break out the Greg Dykeman face mask. Is he okay?
Yeah, I mean, you know, initially they're going to take a little more look today, but everybody kind of had a big sigh of relief because even though it looked as nasty and as scary as anything you'll ever see, you know, the prognosis, usually even an hour after the game last night before I left the stadium, was that fortunately it was mostly superficial wounds. I mean, it was a small laceration and, you know, there were no teeth missing and it did not seem to affect, you know, the bone structure or the jaw. So, you know, hey, he's a tough kid. But, you know, the thinking was that it was, you know, put some Neosporin and maybe make sure that you take care of the little cut on the outside and he's going to be fine. But it certainly was a scary moment. And as Coach told me in the post-game show last night, I mean, he just, you know, he saw just so much happen because you don't want to put so much emphasis on one guy on a baseball team. But you'd be silly to think that, you know, not having Josh Smith in the lineup last year didn't really cost LSU quite a bit.
Yeah, not good. All right, well, we're glad that he's okay. And then, you know, kind of, I'm a hashtag, always a bright side. We did get some tough news yesterday. The voice of the box, Bill Francis, one of the nicest guys in the entire world. He's going to be dealing with a medical issue. He put that out there. But I guess the good news is, again, they found the cancer early, and we wish Bill all the best.
Yeah, prognosis on that is as well is very good, and you know he is. I mean, he's just one of the best human beings you'll ever meet. I mean, not just what he does and what he has done for LSU baseball. I mean, whatever he would be doing, and however you knew him in whatever capacity, you'd be happy to know that Bill Franquez was one of your friends. So yeah, we wish him the best as well. I sent him a note again last night. We've been talking about it for the last several weeks, and going to miss him in the booth for the road games for just a little bit, but he'll be back before you know it.
No doubt about it. All right, let's look ahead to basketball tonight. I'm much more concerned about the Florida Gators game at in Gainesville, only because I think that's going to be their Super Bowl, if you will. That's going to be their one postseason game. It's, you know, that's the O'Connell, right? The O'Connell Arena is a tough place to play. This one, though, Will Wade's got a great example, although you wouldn't think you could overlook LSU is Kentucky, right? LSU, Kentucky maybe didn't take LSU as much as they should have, take them seriously as much as they should have, because then they came back and they hammered Tennessee. Well, same situation here. LSU's got Florida and then Tennessee. It would appear that Coach Wade has a great example not to take this team lightly.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, he's got one that's fresh in the memory of the guys for LSU, simply because when we arrived in Lexington last week, you know, most of the media coverage, and I don't know how much of the guys watched it, but I did, you know, local television and even in the paper, the story was getting ready for the big matchup with Tennessee. I mean, the LSU game was kind of a footnote. So, yeah, that's going to be a good example. But as I've told you before, this staff does a great job and you know, being able to turn the page really quickly, win or lose, for LSU. And you know, Coach has been talking about this Florida team simply because, you know, it's a young team. They've got a couple of key veterans, but, you know, some of the guys carrying the load are really talented freshmen. Nimhard's one. Noah Locke is another. You know, Nimhard's one of those tough matchups for everybody because he's a 6'5 point guard. He's got like a 2.4 assist to turnover margin, one of the top assist makers in the league. He was a big part of the blowout win against Alabama. I mean, this kid was 9 for 9, including 2 3-pointers, which was the first time in 20 years that a player in the SEC had 9 shots and was perfect from the field. So, you know, the guy can score, he can facilitate, he's easy. He's not easy to hem up just because of his size and his athleticism. And then you got a guy like Kayvon Allen, who's a veteran, one of the seniors for Florida, and he's one of the top scorers as well. This is not a great offensive team, although when they get hot shooting three-pointers, which if you look back to LSU, they've done a much better job. But there's been times this year, you know, where they've allowed teams like Georgia, like Arkansas, to really have success from the three-point line. That's really their strength. If they're hitting, they're a tough team to handle. But it all starts defensively. This is the number one defensive team in the SEC, averaging, allowing just about 63 points a game. So, to me, the key is going to be protecting the basketball for LSU. If they don't shoot the ball particularly well, they've got to dominate on the offensive glass, which they've done a good job of here of late, because it's going to come down to who can impose their will. LSU is averaging well over 80 points a game. As I said, Florida has given up just over 60. If it's a high-scoring game, LSU should be in good shape. If it becomes one of those playing in the mud, grind it down, you know, possession by possession games, I mean, it's going to be in favor of Florida down the stretch. So, you know, it hadn't been many teams that's been able to slow LSU down. You've had to outscore them. I don't know if Florida can do it, but that's what you got to be concerned about.
All right, Chris Blair, we'll hear him tonight, 5:30 pregame show, 6 p.m.-ish tip-off. It's LSU in Florida, and then pulling the double dip on Saturday with Bryant coming to town. He'll do the 11 a.m. ball game, like he said, brunch at the PMAC. I like that idea. What do you get in your omelet?
You know, usually I like a little either crawfish or shrimp, and you know, maybe some little bit of cheese. That's it. I'm nothing too outrageous. I mean, I like a little seafood omelet.
Oh, there you go. I'm more of a just a cheese and a bacon kind of guy. That's really good. All right.
Well, I mean, you're from upstate New York.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. But by the way, kudos on the intro music, man. Everything that glitters is not gold is one of the all-time great songs.
There you go. Well, we got a new DJ, so we appreciate it. Thank you so much, my friend. All the best. We'll be listening tonight.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Was that Blair with the – I mean, he was a complimentary afterwards, but that was a little throw and shade right there? Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Do you think before Chris Blair came to South Louisiana, he was having crawfish in the omelet
Probably not.
Or is he just sucking up to Louisiana sports fans, which is a good idea. I mean, I probably should do that more often, too.
I mean, but it does sound really good.
I mean, do we think that was the case?
I mean,
I guess eating habits do change, you know, when you got, when in Rome. But do we think that's the case? When he's in Georgia or Kentucky? In Kentucky, did he grow up eating crawfish omelets in Kentucky? And he's throwing shade to me because I like a little bacon and cheese, which is about as unkosher an omelet as you can get. Sorry, Dad. So we're thinking in Kentucky. Mama Blair's making, you know, omelets at Touffet? Are we really seeing? Come on. Good job, Chris. Throwing shade, mocking me, and at the same time sucking up to Louisiana sports fans. Good job. Well done. Neat trick. All right, we put a bow on hour number two after this. We'll check out the poll questions. We'll ask two of our next three guests about the poll questions. Keep on voting. At Dave, 1037 The Game, at 1037 The Game. After how many dates is it acceptable to bring a new girlfriend to the strip club? It's going in a better direction now, I have to say. And did you watch the AIF this week? I didn't. Back after this, 1037 The Game.
The wild dogs cry out in the night as they grow restless, longing for some solitary company.
He's a wise man, a sharp-dressed man, but most of all, he's a ladies' man.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
This is Sports Chat with Dave Schultz, live and local on 1037 The Game.
All right, Dave Schultz, Joe Hemel back on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat. So we did Joey got the compliment on the music selection. I got hammered on my taste in omelets. We won't put a shut up, Dave. Bull question. Upset anybody. But we do have, again, it's kind of flipped. At Dave, 1037 The Game, at 1037 The Game. Did you watch the AAF in week number two? It's gone a little bit higher. 34% said yes. 45% say no. Let's go to the other way. Did you watch it over the weekend? The first weekend. All right. So we did it last week, February 11th. Or after the first weekend. Yeah. On Monday, I guess. 76% said yes or a little. Only 22% say no. This one, 34% say yes. So that's more. That's more than half decided not to watch. 45% say no. 21% telling me to shut up. Chico chirping in, telling me, yes, I should suck up to Louisiana sports fans. I do, all, you know. Outside of the Machado thing, which was the big news, haven't we been talking about Louisiana sports all day? A little bit more LSU, though we did have Robon. And we'll have Matt Diggs on. And we got Pelicans coming up. Whole show is Louisiana sports. Although we do have the two poll questions. It's coming back to reality here, Joey. I'm almost disappointed. After how many dates, and this was a conversation I had yesterday with a recently single woman who first date was Valentine's Day, second date after dinner ended up at a strip club. After how many dates is it acceptable to bring a new girlfriend to a strip club? 17% say two, 14% say three. So you got to combine that, right? So that's 31% saying, hey, it's acceptable at any point in time. 33% say never. So that's kind of 50-50. And again, it seems like there's a thing going on here because 36%, which is high, tell me to shut up. Shh. You're ruining our thing, Dave. This is a thing. I never knew that. Again, life's all about adjustments. Change it up. 706-0111, 706-0111. The sports world awaiting with bated breath where Bryce Harper is going to sign, and so maybe the dominoes fall after that. Again, is it the same side of the coin, right? On one hand, you know, I don't want to hear from Manny Machado, congratulations on getting all that money, but I don't want to hear it's all about the winning because San Diego hasn't won recently. So it's not about the winning. On the other hand, San Diego is going to say, well, give us a shot. We went out and spent the money. All right, we're trying to build something here. This is going to be our cornerstone guy. Now we can fill in the other holes. More pitching. Fill in the spots around him in the lineup. If he's the only guy and you end up like the Rangers with A-Rod, then it's a problem. And then again, Raymond Parsh III with a rare good point. You know, wouldn't you say that 10 years, $300 million to live and work in San Diego is considered winning? Yeah. Yes, I would. Whether he wins a World Series or a playoff game or playoff series, making out like a bandit. All right? And we'll see where Bryce Harper goes. It'll be interesting to see if either one of these guys win a World Series. But I guess you do have to give the Padres credit for trying. And in this case, they won. They got the guy. They got one of the two big free agents this offseason. All right, 2 hours down. One more to go for the week, Joey. One more for the week. Again, the ladies, Emily Jean Greco from KLFY and Shakira Martin from Fox 15 in Thursday and Friday. Joey has total control. Remember, I'm on the West Coast, so I don't want any calls at 5 a.m. that the show is going off the rails, all right? If the show goes off the rails, well, it always goes off the rails here with me, so what's the difference? Brian Bieniemy up next. Talking Pelicans on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7. The Game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 8 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Here we go.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super team.
It's on right now.
Oh, Douglas, your fantasy is finally coming true. We're going to meet with a boy band.
Very funny. Not even close. No. The puerile sounds of boy bands are poison to my ears. And the only antidote is Steely Dan.
Ah, you like yacht rock.
Mm-hmm.
Shocker.
All I want to do when I wake up in the morning is see you live. Rosanna, Rosanna. Never thought that a girl like you could ever care for me.
All right, Dave Schultz, Joe Hemel, on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat. We'll have Coach Matt Deggs at 8:17. Sam Houston State preview the Cajuns matchup. All right, Chris Gordy 8:32. We are efforting Brian Bieniemy. See if we can get the correct phone number. As we go along. All right, we won't take your phone calls because we're trying to call him. All right, so see if we can do that. All right, to recap, LSU with a nice win yesterday over Southeastern. They did move it up from, again, a 6:30 start to a 4 o'clock start. I didn't think we were going to get it at all. You know, it interrupted Jordy Holtberg. It canceled bumper-to-bumper sports. Pushed Tiger Rag back, but we got the game in. We got Tiger Rag on, so that's good stuff. All right. LSU basketball tonight, got Florida, 5:30 pregame show, 6 p.m. start time. Still no? Is he not answering, or do you have the right number? Okay, all right, he's busy. All right. Or he's going to call you right there. Cajuns game against Louisiana Tech is tonight, weather permitting. And La Tech is pitching their Friday night starter. He only pitched a few innings on Friday night. Kind of got hit hard. So we'll see how that goes. All right, see if the bats can stick with what their approach is. And eventually, you know, either on the record or off the record, I want to know what that approach is so I can follow it. All right? We'll see how that goes. Let's check out the poll question. Was that not him, Joey? Is that somebody else? Do we have a caller on the line? Or do you hang up? Okay. All right, let's check out the poll questions. All right, now it's evening up. Did you watch AAF this weekend, week number two? 39% said yes, 39% say no, 22% telling me to shut up. This is under 30% now. You know, after how many dates is it acceptable to bring a new girlfriend to a strip club? As that was a surreal conversation I was having yesterday. And I told the person I was going to do this. All right, I obviously wouldn't do this if she didn't want me to do it. 29% have it. It's acceptable after two dates or three dates. 17% after two, 12% after three. I don't know who's doing that, but it ain't me. 34% say never. Again, 37% a clear winner, so to speak. Shut up, Dave. Apparently it's a thing, and I'm letting the cat out of the bag. All right? And it's interesting on how the AAF people are still watching. We'll see how much longer. Again, I just don't have enough RAM. Coming up here is going to be the Louisiana Open. All right, so I'm going to be covering that and watching that. You know, does LSU get to the, you know, how far does LSU get into the basketball tournament? That's, you know, in on that, you know, does my Orange make another run? You know, can the Cajuns win the Sun Belt and get to that? So we'll see. All right. We'll see if that's the case. And so how much can I focus on a secondary league that is, again, a minor league? Remember, again, we'll go back to the USFL. It's a different league, all right? It's just a different league because USFL, the USFL had the stars, right? They had the stars. And they had Doug Flutie. They had Reggie White. Right? They had Herschel Walker. All right? This has Christian Hackenberg. This has Trent Richardson. Joey, look at your phone again. All right? My bad. My fault. Who do these guys have? They're just playing football. They had some rules, changes, I don't know, even though, you know, they call a 15-yard penalty on Trent Richardson spiking the ball that goes into the crowd or, you know, out of the field of play. Kind of a little bit too uptight with that one, right? And they're allowing the hitting, but they're not allowing the blitzing. I like the no kickoffs. It moves faster. I like that. I like the idea of the onside, no onside kick deal, 4th and 12. I like that. I think we efforted him and we found him. All right, took a little bit. I think I think Joey woke up about four different people. All right. Did you wake up like four different people trying to contact him?
That first gentleman turned his phone off.
Oh, okay. There you go. All right. All right, we've got the right number. Let's go out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. It is Brian Banamy from 100.3 in New Orleans. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm doing fine. Apparently, I had a little trouble.
Right, I had the wrong number in my phone. But this is a question right up your alley, right? This is a great Shut Up Dave poll question, okay? Nothing to do with sports. But you'll love this one, okay? I had this conversation with somebody yesterday, newly single girl, and on the second date, the guy took her to a strip club. After how many dates is that acceptable? Two, three, never, or shut up, Dave?
Shut up, Dave.
That's why that's winning. I am missing out on something. I'm telling you. I never knew that was a thing. Maybe, after a year or two.
Love that poll question, by the way.
Great poll question, right? And the girl gave me permission to do it, right? I'm not saying who the girl is, but she gave me permission to do it. All right. What are the Pelicans going to do about this Anthony Davis situation? Because on Monday it hit me because I watched a little Queen again, and he's Freddie Mercury. He's decided, you know, he likes men, so he's breaking up with his wife, but says, don't go anywhere, I need you in my life. That's what Anthony Davis did. Anthony Davis decided, I don't want to be with the Pelicans anymore, but I ain't moving out, I need you in my life. What is going on with that?
I actually think after this weekend, I know the Pelicans have tried to communicate with the commissioner to find out what role can they take. After this weekend, if I'm the Pelicans, even if the NBA doesn't give me the blessing, I bench Anthony Davis, I send him home. I think I would have had to have had enough. When you see a guy openly flirting with 29 other teams, you know, I mean, publicly, not holding his, you know, himself accountable to the idea that you're still under contract, I think at that point, that should be the last straw. If Anthony Davis plays against the Pacers, I'm done. I would have seen it all, and there's no recourse for it. I mean, there's nothing to stop this from being a precedent from other NBA superstars. Because
right.
Now, I mean, just openly saying, yeah, I have a list of 29 of the teams that I want to go to. So basically, it's anybody but you guys.
And then how do we believe anything that he says? Because like you said, he said, not only did he say, I'm open to go to 29 other teams, but before that, and in the same comment, he goes, the list wasn't true. I'm able to go to all their 29 other teams. And then before that, in the press conference, before he got on NBA TV, he said, the list was right. The list that my agent gave to the Pelicans, that's true. I mean, what do we do? You know, he's still young, but it just seems like he's being manipulated by Clutch Sports, Rich Paul, the Lakers, LeBron, and he's going to end up taking the brunt of this.
Yeah, no question. And I think any client of Clutch Sports should be paying attention right now, because I've always said this. It's not that Clutch Sports works to help their client. Clutch Sports works to help one client in particular.
Right.
That's LeBron James.
Right.
So I think, you know, people should kind of pay attention to that. But for Anthony, you can tell he's uncomfortable because of the lion, because he doesn't really look comfortable coming out saying the things that he is. But, you know, apparently, you know, he has this, all of a sudden he's taking a truth serum, and, he, you know, he kind of wants to just keep blabbing at the mouth right now. But it's just amazing that, you know, you can have and less than 5 minutes, he left one set, went to another and made that comment, totally, you know, contradicting himself. So I just think at this point, Anthony needs to be careful on that. Maybe just stop talking. Just stop talking to the press. But I think it's all a part of the Clutch Sports design and the idea that we're going to bully our way to get what we want. And apparently they don't really understand that you can bully a lot of people, but sometimes the bully, you know, gets pushed back.
We're talking to Brian Bannery, 100.3 in New Orleans. Some guy who needs to stop talking is Antonio Brown. There's no way he ends up on the Saints, right? They don't have the money. They don't have the draft picks. They want to sign their young players. They're not bringing that mess in, right? Please tell me I'm right.
You're absolutely right, Dave. I think it's a pipe dream. I think it was even pushed forward a little bit more because Booker McFarland came out and said the Saints would be a great destination. I don't believe that. I think the Saints would be a horrible destination for Antonio Brown. And it's not that they can't use his speed or his talent, but Antonio Brown doesn't want to play for a team like the Saints. You're not going to play second fiddle to Mike Thomas, who could arguably say he's the best wide receiver in football. Brandon Cooks seemed to not like the idea, and he's like A.B. Light playing alongside of Michael Thomas. The Saints like to spray the ball around. And most importantly, when you look at Antonio Brown, he had everything you could possibly want as a diva wide receiver in Pittsburgh. And the guy still complained his way out of there. So I don't think the Saints are a great fit at all. You can't be leading the NFL in targets. You can't, you know, have a great organization like the Steelers, who are very, very player friendly. You definitely can't have a guy who got the numbers that he had and got paid, and yet you're still not happy with
right.
chance to win a championship every year.
Right.
That's a red flag if there's ever been one.
Yeah, it is crazy. That's nuts. All right. You sure you don't want to answer that question, or are you just going to stick with shut up, Dave? You're just going to stick with that?
If I'm going to go to a strip club with a young lady, it's not going to be within the first few dates. It's definitely going to be further down the line when we've established ourselves, maybe even married at that point.
Yes.
And she would have to tell me, let's take a trip there.
I'm with you.
Things
get a little stale. We need to spice things up a little bit. All right, that makes sense. But I'm certainly not going to be the one to suggest it, because I got a good feeling, you know, that's the end of the relationship. But that's just me.
Exactly.
That's just me. I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you so much.
No worry, Dave. Take care, man.
All right. Brian Bannery, 100.3 in New Orleans. All right. Steve Stricker, breaking news.
named U.S. Ryder Cup captain for 2020. Nice. All right, I guess that's no surprise according to Jason Sobel, and that's what everybody thought it was going to be compared to, say, a Tiger Woods. All right, and actually somebody who, and it's at Whistling Straits, and he's from Wisconsin, and we're still a year off. All right, so a little bit breaking news. All right, let's talk a little baseball when we come back, shall we? Sam Houston State. We do have the right number for this, right? All right. For Matt Deggs, former Cajuns batting coach. Now the head man over at Sam Houston. He's had quite the run. Back after this, 103.7, the game.
In the sports talk game, it's not whether you win or lose. It's how loud you can talk.
Blah, 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 blah.
This is Sports Chat with Dave Schultz. Loud and proud on 103.7 The Game.
There was no Christopher Cross sighting at Cody's wedding. Very disappointing. Thought we'd have a crasher. Oh, well. It is what it is. Dave Schultz, Joey Himmelin on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat. Chris Cordy coming up from Houston after the bottom of the hour. But let's talk to one of our favorite opposing coaches. He used to be here with the Cajuns. He's run his own ship now. Took the Sam Houston State Bearcats to their Super Regional a couple of seasons ago. The Cajuns going to him to play a three-game set. It is Matt Deggs, head coach of the Sam Houston State Bearcats. Coach, Dave Schultz, great to catch up again. How are you?
Hey, Dave, I'm doing great. How are you doing, buddy?
We're doing okay. All right, tell us what kind of team you got this year. Obviously, you did a great job turning things around. What's going on in 2019?
I like our ball club, man. We're heavy on the pitching, which obviously makes the world go round. And we've got all of our arms back, minus one, and they've all made a little bit of a jump. Have some older position players, and so you know how it is. We've got a great schedule, and we're kind of day-to-day, man. Every day is a brand-new confrontation, and we've got to be ready to jump in the fight.
I like this kind of matchup, all right, because here's the thing. You coached under Robichaux, and you know he has a pitching philosophy and the way he has his pitches. You have a hitting philosophy. The thing is, you guys know each other. This is like a conference ball game. You know his thing, and he knows you know his thing, and you know that he knows what you do. I love that idea.
Yeah. And you know what? When you get together, you got to kind of throw all that out the window. It'll be about who has the best approach at the dish and who can execute pitches when it matters and who's going to gobble up and make routine plays. And so everything else you can kind of toss out because it's all – we don't play. And it's all up to what these kids do. So it'll be a fun matchup. I know the Cajun Army will travel well.
Sure.
They're going to show up in full force, and we like playing these guys. They make us better.
Something about iron sharpening iron, something along those ways, something like that.
You got it. And you know what? In today's college atmosphere, the RPI is so important.
Right.
You can't afford to take a break, you know, in or out of conference. And so anytime we have a chance to play the Cajuns, we're always going to do it.
All right, so how long does it take to implement your kind of hitting style and your hitting approach when you go to a new club, a new school?
Oh, man, that is all, Dave. All of that is predicated on personnel. And if you have some athletes in place, then I would say it's not going to be that long, you know, 6 months to a year. If you're looking at having to add and subtract from the roster and then start developing guys from there, it can take a little bit longer. But the thing about it is once you get it, it's like riding a bike and you're never going to forget it.
So, you know, sometimes I look at the approach, and again, I'm approaching 50, so I've watched, I never really played baseball, Little League, and that was about it. But I kind of have an idea of what pitchers are trying to do, and yet these kids who have been playing, you know, for a decade or so, sometimes I don't think they are paying attention to the ball game. Sometimes. And you're teaching the same, you know this as well as I do, right? The kids stay the same age. We keep on getting older. So you guys have you guys have to reteach the same thing year in and year out, and
You know, how long does that realize to say, you know what, he doesn't realize what I'm trying to do yet because he just got here?
Well, our coaches have done such an incredible job. Lance Harvell, who was with me at UL, and Jay Sirianni and Shane Wood, Lance Miles and these guys, they understand the pack mentality inside and out. And our program, you know, it transcends the here and now, and it reaches down into our recruiting. And so these kids understand what they're getting into. And one thing that you have to understand about players today is they are so much more advanced mentally, physically, and talent-wise than we ever were at the same age. And so if you get athletes, they're able to adjust and adapt pretty quick and jump right into it.
Talking to Matt Deggs, his Bearcats hosting the Raging Cajuns this weekend. You became big time. Not only did you write a book, but got a great write-up about it, about Kendall Rogers. Tell us what it's been like since the book has come out, and you've gotten some national publicity. 15-28, almost like, you know, 25-6-4.
Well, it's a story of redemption, of God's love, power, and redemption, and it's kind of my biography of the ups and downs and tragedies and triumphs that my family and I have experienced, and a lot in between. And I felt it was important to write the book. I felt compelled for no other reason than it's going to help somebody else that was in the same place that I was at and my family was at. And God has opened doors and hit a lot of people right between the eyes and right in the heart with this book. And it's people that, they reach out, but there's people I'll never know in my lifetime that this book has hit them right between the eyes and helped them stand up, take some action, and make a change in their life.
Well, you can go get to the book. It's very simple. He's got an easy website, coachdeggs.com, and it's right there. You can get the book for just $15.28, as it turns out. All right, how have you seen, you know, tell me, because I don't know, because, you know, I came with the Raging Cajuns. I didn't even know what I was dealing with the number one team of the nation back when I got here. What's it like when you're building the team at Sam Houston? What was the Sam Houston program like when you got there, and what has it turned into since?
Well, Sam Houston State was a proud program way before I got here. And they had a lot of regional appearances. And here's the thing about Sam Houston State. We've got three things that you're going to win no matter what. And that's, we've got great support and great administration. We've got really good facilities, and we're probably the best baseball located state in the, or school in the state. We're an hour from Houston. And so, all of those things are in place already, and the club that we inherited was full of guys that had experience of winning, but maybe they hadn't played as much as the guys that had helped produce a lot of that winning, as they had lost a lot of key contributors off of the regional team from the year before. And so what we inherited was a bunch of guys that played hard, but might not have had the experience on the field as much as just being a part of what was going on already. And so, look, like I told our coaches, we're going to walk in and we're going to provide these guys a great experience. And we went through 2015 and worked as hard as we could with those guys, wound up in the tournament championship game, didn't get it done. And the following year, we brought in, it was 20-something guys that we felt fit the pack mentality, and the rest is kind of history.
Matt Deggs, Coach Matt Deggs, one of our favorite guys, always there when we need him. I appreciate it. Hope we'll see you next year here at the Teague. All the best.
God willing, we'll be there, Dave.
I appreciate it, Coach. Thank you so much. Coach Matt Deggs, he's awesome. All right. And I think what Robichaud was saying in his talk in his interview about Deggs, that, you know, he can, their approach, their pack mentality can psych you out of the strike zone. So we'll watch from LA, I guess. I wouldn't say a red eye coming back, but I've been landing at midnight on Saturday night. No, that's not bad. If everything's on time. So maybe we can watch some of the game. All right, we'll be back. Chris Gordy, Sports Talk 790, coming up after this, 103.7, the game.
You're the biggest part.
All right, another great prize in the clubhouse on 1037thegame.com. It's the Tour Experience, powered by golfballs.com. A brand new Callaway Epic Flash driver from golfballs.com. A spot in the 1037 The Game foursome in the Louisiana Open. A dozen 1037 The Game personalized golf balls that you can lose in the 1037 The Game foursome in the Louisiana Open. Pro-Am, I should say. Louisiana Open Pro-Am. Need to put that in there. Little typo there. And four Skybox passes to each day of the Chittimacha Louisiana Open. All right? Have to sign up and enter in the clubhouse on 1037thegame.com. It's the 2019 1037 The Game Tour Experience, powered by golfballs.com. 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Very particular set of skills.
What they are,
we don't exactly know yet.
This is Sports Chat with Dave Schultz on 1037 The Game.
They say, Brandon, you're a fine girl.
You're a fine.
You know, it's amazing when it's the last show of the week, you know, on a Wednesday, and we're going out to L.A., all right? I'm going to get a few tips after 5.5 years on how to actually do a sports talk show. Again, we'll have Emily Giangreco from KLFY 10 and Shakira Martin in from Fox 15. I told Shakira, A, hopefully I have a show when I get back. That's A. And B, I may not come back. I might just stay. They can have the show. No, I've had it getting up at 2:30 in the morning every morning. All right, let's go out to the Arco Equipment Hotline. Lots to talk about with this guy. First of all, I thought he was on vacation, and maybe he was, but he snuck in. A, you know, you got to be fine. You got to be looking for Woodford Reserve, the distillery. All right, it is not on the beaten path. It is off the beaten path. What is not off the beaten path is Lexington, Kentucky, and Rupp Arena. It is Chris Gordy from Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Good morning, Chris. How long were you planning that trip for?
Well, we had planned it for a little while. My wife went to Kentucky, so we were wanting to get out. We were wanting to get to a game in Lexington this year, and when we saw LSU was on the schedule, we were like, all right, well, that one makes the most sense, but. I'm actually talking to you this morning from beautiful West Palm Beach, Florida. I'm here at the Astros Spring Training Facility.
Oh, very nice. All right, it's already 9:30 there. All right. Again, I'm going to tell you the best dessert in the history of desserts, Captain Jack's. Go find an ale house. You may have to go run a little bit more on the beach. Don't fall down and break an arm, but it is well worth it, okay?
All right,
so you're just all over the place. First of all, are you a big bourbon guy? How did you find Woodford Reserve? That's awesome because it is what's behind at least three or four horse farms.
Yeah, so my wife, I mean, I'm probably the only guy in America where I defer to my wife on all the bourbon decisions. Like, she is an expert. When she went to Kentucky, her and all her friends would have tastings all the time and all this. So
sure.
We've been on the bourbon trail a couple times. We've been to Baker's Mark, and then this time we did Woodford Reserve and Buffalo Trace. So it's pretty cool. I mean, I know it's like the cool, trendy thing now. Like, a lot of guys your age, my age, are all getting into the bourbon thing and collecting and all that. So if you ever get a chance to get out that way to Louisville and Lexington, tons of distilleries.
Well, that's where I learned it. I was on the Jack Trail, and I'm just not a big fan of that because it was a hangover waiting to happen. But, you know, my brother moved to Louisville, and, you know, they say Jack is Tennessee, bourbon is Kentucky. So I was drinking Maker's and then Woodford, and I didn't wake up with a hangover. So I, you know, instant switch. Yep. Life's all about adjustments, Gordy. Life is all about adjustments. And somewhere.
Yeah, they didn't like when I asked for a little Coke to mix it with.
No. At Woodford Reserve, you didn't see the wanted posters? They're like, if you want to mix it with Coke, you got to do the Jim Beam or something like that. No. I have wanted posters in the state of Kentucky. Do not serve high-end bourbon to this guy. All right, a couple of questions. Let's go back before we go forward. How great would it have been if the Astros traded for Bryce Harper last year? They had the deal done, and the owners of the Nationals nixed it.
Yeah, it's funny. This has happened a couple times in recent years. We heard about that 2 years ago. They had a deal in place with Zach Britton from the Orioles, and
that's right.
Both GMs both GMs agreed to it, and the owner stepped in at the last minute and nixed it. It sounds like the same thing with the Nationals. It's fun to talk about. I mean, it didn't happen, so there's nothing we can really do about it. But that would have been really intriguing to see how this offense would have responded, because we know the injuries and how they were banged up kind of down the stretch and into the postseason with Altuve ailing, you know, Correa still with the back injury. It would have been really interesting to see Harper in that lineup to see what he could have done. But again, you know, let's not act like his average was above board last year. It was
right.
Pretty bad.
Right.
So
it wasn't good.
But it's intriguing to have that kind of power back in this lineup. It would have been fun.
Right. And maybe, you know, he gets it dialed back in when there's, you know, you're not playing on a 500 team anymore. You know, maybe he gets a little bit more motivated. That, you know, that you'd think that wouldn't be the case, but, you know, that's human nature as it turns out. All right. Let's talk a little. We're talking LSU basketball. You went to see LSU basketball. Houston is fourth in the net ratings. All right. How is Houston playing there? How much do you guys talk about it there? Because we know that Houston is a pro town. You're in West Palm Beach. The Astros are, we're talking about practice. In fact, we're talking about practice, right? They're not even playing practice games yet. You're just watching, you know, practice. The Texans are always at the forefront. The Rockets, you know, have Harden going off on 30 points a game. How much are the Houston Cougars getting play on your station and in the city?
Yeah, they're starting to catch a little buzz now. I mean, 25-1, five games to play, and you know, I think the toughest game remaining is at Cincinnati, and if they're able to win that one, I mean, you're talking about 30-1 regular season, winning the American Athletic Conference. And look, you know, if you're an LSU fan, you saw this LSU team play this Houston team earlier this season and had a big lead, you know, going into the second half of that game and kind of let it slip away. I think if you played that game right now, I bet the way this LSU team's playing, I bet it would, you know, it'd be a lot closer. And I think LSU might pull away with it. So,
yeah.
But that's not to take anything away from Houston. I mean, Kelvin Sampson's done a fantastic job. And, you know, I think if you look at the bracketology right now, you see, you know, LSU and Houston, both teams are sitting there at about three or four seeds and possibly a chance to get even higher.
Yeah, you think you can be that way, because it's very odd that Houston is four and LSU doesn't seem to be getting any respect. They went ahead of Wisconsin after Wisconsin had a close win, I guess, against Illinois. But, you know, they don't seem to be up where the Houstons are. They seem to be down where the Iowa States and the Wisconsins are.
Yeah, the top 25 rankings, I don't really care about. I mean, the thing is LSU, this big game on Saturday against Tennessee, I know they got to take care of business against Florida tonight. But if they can knock off Tennessee on Saturday, man, I mean, you're really talking about a team that is in prime position to win the SEC and, you know, go do some damage in the tournament. And if they do that, I think two seed is a possibility.
All right. That'll be very interesting to see. I'm glad that after they're 25-1, they're starting to catch on. They're starting to catch on in Houston. But it is what it is. All right. What do you think of Mr. Big Chest? Antonio Brown needs to probably stop talking. Where do you think he's going to go? Do we think he's going to go to a contender, or do we think he's going to be like Manny Machado and just go where the money is?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you read the reports, Peter King said yesterday there's already a couple teams that have been turned off from him with the social media posts and everything else. I mean, in this day and age, it's better to say nothing at all.
Right.
I mean, when you start hitting up social media and ranting and all this kind of stuff, it really starts to turn people off. So, look, We saw in the Superdome late last year, Antonio Brown is still very much at the top of his game, an unguardable type wide receiver. So I think there's going to be a lot of people interested in him. I'm just curious what the market's going to be and what teams, you know, are one-star wide receiver away. You know, I can't see somebody like Buffalo getting involved, because what does that do for them? I mean, Antonio Brown doesn't make them an instant contender, but you know, some of these other teams out there, I mean, you never want to sleep on the Patriots. They're always active and putting their name in the hat on things. We know the Rams have said, you know, they might have some interest. So, I don't know. It'll be intriguing to see where he ends up. But, man, just keep your mouth shut. It goes to show he's a Drew Rosenhaus client, because it's very reminiscent of Terrell Owens about 12 years ago.
I mean, the Texans need a wide receiver, right? Thomas is gone.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is their number one guy. Will Fuller, back healthy, is their number two. Kiki Kuti was a draft pick. I can't see them getting involved for an Antonio Brown. I mean, but it's going to take it's going to take at least a couple of high draft picks to get him.
Right, right. All right, well, let's talk to Chris Gordy about where he is. He's sitting. Is it sunny out? Is it nice out? How far is the stadium away from the ocean, by the way, in West Palm Beach?
It's about 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
We're staying at a really, really nice hotel. So I'll give them a quick plug, the Marriott Palm Beach Singer Island.
Ooh.
If you want to come out this way, it's about really about $580 a night. But
no $580 a night. No. I know what company you work for, and that's fine, but, you know.
Look, here's the thing. If you're going to come down here to get away, do it the right way.
Sure,
right,
Dave? Spend
a little cash. So, it's a really, really nice.
Is that on the water? I'm looking at that. Are you on the water?
Yes. It has a huge balcony that you can go sit out on and watch and look at the ocean. It's pretty fantastic.
Are you there for the radio station, or is the missus with you?
Yeah, no, we're here to work. We're out here at the Astros facility getting some player interviews.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We'll be out here the whole week.
Sounds like
the guys hit. I know.
Right.
Bregman's about to take some live BP here in a second.
All right.
So we'll check that out.
Yeah, it sounds like Craig Perks working the Bahamas is what it sounds like to me. Yeah, right. Your expectations. Do they have an opponent? Do they have, you know, someone who's going to contend with them in the West? I mean, shouldn't the Astros run away with this? I mean, the A's are going to do this again. Same thing in the second half again.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what the A's look like this year. I mean, we saw what they did last year, you know, a lot of young talent, and you know, I think they're the easy one. The Seattle kind of sent the message that they're kind of blowing things up. The Angels are always intriguing just because they have Trout and, you know, some arms that when they're healthy they can be really good. You know, we know Ohtani's not going to pitch, but he'll at least hit some this year. But I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think most of the predictors are correct in saying that the Astros are running away with this division, because I think now more than ever the division is very winnable with basically everybody being down right now.
Are you in a condo? What are you in there? Because I'm seeing room rates for like $817 over a weekend.
It's called a fantastic partnership is what it is.
Goodness gracious. Good for you. I mean, a two-bedroom condo, bedroom one king, bedroom two double beds, ocean view balcony, $817 a night. Now, that's over a weekend. Are you staying there all weekend, or were you there just this week? Because it would be a little bit cheaper.
We fly on Friday night, so we're just the next couple of days.
All right, yeah, you got to talk about a good partnership. All right, get those Marriott points there, Gordy. I appreciate it, my friend. That's a lot of points.
Saturday's the first game, so baseball's right around the corner.
Game-ish. We're talking about practice. I appreciate it, my friend. All the best.
All right, thanks, Dave.
All right. Again, more shade. Did you hear that? I glossed over it. Guys like your age, Dave. Guys like your age. I've been into bourbon 2001. It's all trendy now. I was in it way back. I'm telling you. Just not a Jack guy. All right. It's an awful hangover. Just don't like the way it tastes. Bourbon a little sweeter. All right. In my palate. And I do it with a diet. I tried rum and Coke, and that was way too sweet. And I like the single barrel ones. Only one I don't like is Knob Creek, and I have to try some of the others. And I am one of the guys who mixes it with soda. So, again, there are wanted posts. No, we won't serve you Woodford Reserve and diet. No. Mix it with, if you want to mix it, you get the Jim Beam, and you go from there. All right? Wild Turkey. Get that high end. They don't even like putting ice in it. They don't even like putting it on the rocks. Oh, no. They're bourbon snobs, which they deserve to be. All right, that's the case. All right, we'll check out the poll questions. We've got to ask Gordy that. That was the one thing we forgot to ask Gordy that. I got all caught up in his $850 room per night on the beach in Palm Beach. All right, back after this. I got 13 more minutes, and I'm out heading to Los Angeles. Back after this, 103.7 The Game. Stop resisting.
He brings you the coaches, the players, and all the movers and shakers. Let's face it, everybody loves
They think he's a righteous dude.
This is Sports Chat with Dave Schultz on 103.7 The Game.
Are you going to wait for a sign, your miracle? Stand up and fight.
All right, special thanks to Joey. All right, great job. I get no phone calls at 4 a.m. in the morning. All right, I hope you're prepared to, you know, host in case they don't show. Be ready with that. I mean, you got LSU. No LSU baseball today. That game's been postponed till March the 12th. All right, they had a baseball game on, but we weren't going to carry it because we had a basketball game on. But Emily Giangreco and Shakira Martin from Channel 10 and Fox 15 are going to fill in Thursday and Friday. I appreciate them filling in. It should be probably a little bit different of a show, but that's fine. I guarantee it is. They're going to sound like they're having a good time. All right, that's what's most important. All right, one other thing I didn't get into, I forgot we had such a great show. Tony Robichaux, Chris Blair, Brian Bannamy, Matt Deggs, and Chris Gordy. At the same time I was having this conversation, all right, after how many dates is it acceptable to bring a new girlfriend to a strip club, all right, we're still at 28%, though now we're under 30. 15% say two, 13% say three, 38% say never, 34% telling me to shut up as if it's a thing. Also, now it's up to 44% did watch the AAF yesterday, or this past week, I should say. 39% say no, so it's almost 50-50. Trending, though, in the yes direction. And 17% telling me to shut up. So this also happened. I did get a beverage with said female who was taken to a strip club on date number two. Didn't get all my change. Right? The change for the two drinks, one for me, one for her, was $4.27. I'm just going to give, you know, so the bill is 15-something, right? So I'm just going to give the $4 to the kid, right? Which is about a dollar more than he should get, but, you know, whatever. But where's my change? 27 cents. I collect change, right? That, you know, that's how you save money, and, you know, every 2 months you bring it in, it's $100. Whatever it is. You know, because you feel like an idiot, right? I'm going to sit there and ask for my 27 cents. You know what the kid behind the bar said? He's like, that's what we do. We either round down or round up. Is that a thing? Like in South Florida, you got to be warned, on South Beach especially, not necessarily everywhere else, but on South Beach especially, they'll include the tip. Now, if you want a double tip, that's fine by you. But, you know, tips are not included in your, there's no tipping in Europe. You know, being a waiter, that's a profession. So you're paid well. So there's tipping in Europe. Here, there's tipping, and you get a lot of Europeans over here, so they put the tipping automatic. All right, so if you know that, they're already getting tipped. If you want to tip more, great. Sometimes people don't know that, and they tip double, and, you know, they're not happy about it. But, you know, if you're paying attention to the bill, you get it. So the change was $4.27. And the kid behind the bar says, no, we don't do that. We either round down or round up. I mean, isn't that, I mean, I hate to put the word on it, but isn't that stealing? You're going to round down or round up with my money? Right? I mean, do you, now, at the, you know, mostly at Walmart or something like that, I'm paying with a card, right? But who's that, is that a thing around here? Have you ever, you work at a restaurant, right, Joey? You ever see it? You guys don't, and we don't need to say where you work, but you don't round up or round down, do you?
Not at all, and that would get us in serious trouble.
Serious trouble. Right? It doesn't matter if it's, you know, 501 and you're keeping the penny, right? A lot of times, right, it's, you know, at a gas station or something like that, it's, you know, or whatever it is, you know, the change is $4.97. Here's the $5. And sometimes I put the you get a little change back, and because they've taken care of you, you get the three pennies, you put it in the little change cup. Right? I've seen people round up like that. But usually the rounding up is in my favor. Do a lot of restaurants do that? And I thought this happened 2 weeks ago as well. And I was kind of caught off guard. I just let it slide. This time I'm like, all right, I'll give them all the change. And I'm, you know, you get the little, the dollars are in the little, you know, card holder thing. And the change is usually in there. No, where's the change? Yeah, we round down or round up. That's just the thing we do. With my money? Again, it's not a lot of money, but it's certainly the point of the deal. And think how much more money they're making if they don't give all the change back. And I had to ask him like three or four times. It's my money. You know, give me my change. I still tip them the $4. But I guess I could come on here and say who it is, and I just don't want to do that. But I don't think that's right. You know, that's a thing, and it should not be a thing. All right? Give me my change back. I'll tip as I see fit. I was going over tipping them anyways. And that should not be the
management style there, that's for sure. It was kind of weird. So it was an odd night. Found out that some new single girl is being taken to a strip club, and I'm not getting all my change back. I'm not too sure if those stories change or not. All right. Thanks to Roe, Blair, Brian Benemy, Matt Diggs, and Chris Gordy, of course. Coming up today, all right, Rap Game with RP3 is next. All right, the Jim Rome Show after that. It's the Jordy Holtberg Show featuring Jordy Holtberg, the Pumper to Bumper Sports, 4 to 5:30, and then LSU basketball taking on the Gators. Emily and Shakira will hold Fort down for Thursday and Friday. I'll be back on Monday. Please keep it live and local all day on Acadiana's number one rated sports station, 103.7, The Game.